And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studios at Hallisaw for another edition of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. I'm Jeff Joniak. Good evening, Coach.
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing pretty well. Good to have you here, and good to have everybody along with us at home tonight. So much went on yesterday. We could spend almost a whole show just talking about one stinking play. You know, it's brought the most attention, obviously, so I'm going to hold off on that for just a minute, right?
All right.
I'm sick of totally, thinking about it.
Totally your prerogative.
I'm sick of that. Well, all right, fine.
I didn't sleep good.
Fine.
I didn't sleep good.
Yeah, how could you, right? No. How could you? No. How could you? But, I mean, let's just put it this way. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, there's a lot of calls in the game. You know, obviously this one was a replay. You know, I don't know that everybody agrees with it. I know I don't, but it really doesn't much matter. You know, they decided where they were, you know, regardless even what they – give you feedback of, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't change anything. So that's not new. But in this league, you got to overcome a lot of things, and officiating is one of them. It's just kind of the way it is. Whether it goes against you or for you, you know, you got to overcome a lot of stuff.
I've never asked you this, and I don't know that anyone ever has. It just popped into my head right now. So bearing the weight of that decision, at that point in the game, it's early.
Right.
Could have tied the game, all that business. But much like we talk about corners who give up a big play, they got to just forget about it, or a receiver drops a touchdown. Do you also, as a head coach, have to not let that weigh you down for the other three quarters of the game? And is that hard to do? Is it always in your head throughout the course of a game?
You know, not really. I mean, there's you know, a lot of decisions you have to make. There's calls, you know, on offense, on defense, in the kicking game. You know, there are a lot of decisions that are made throughout a game. And that's one of them. You know, we haven't scored a lot of points so far this year, and, you know, we're down there close. We got an opportunity to be at the three, or, you know, what we thought was a one or a touchdown. You know, so, you know, we need to do everything possible to get points. You know, and even yesterday we scored one touchdown, and that's not going to win you a lot of games in the league.
Did you ever learn a lesson from your own decisions where you really did regret it and it ruined the way you coached the game at any point in your career?
You know, not really. I think early on, back in early 2000, as far as chasing 2 points, you know, not to do it too early, you know, really kind of wait till late in the fourth quarter. You know, there's a lot of things experience teaches you. You know, but all in all, you know, again, the rules have changed and everything's changed a lot, you know, in that time. But, you know, that's probably the one, you know, that I kind of look back and remember. You know, as far as replay, you know, it's just sometimes it can be a long time out. Sometimes you don't really even care about the call. You know, this wasn't that kind of situation. But, you know, the information that we were getting, we thought it would be out of bounds at the one, if not a touchdown. And really, you know, it's kind of – you know, I go back to the 50 guys in the bar. I still believe that's the case, but it doesn't really matter.
Right, and I think a lot of people do. At minimum, it's really tough to overturn something like that. And I don't know that I've ever seen or heard it going against somebody. It's like, you know, no good deed goes unpunished in that particular situation.
You know, but, I mean, we're sitting there. It's fourth quarter. We're 16-13. I mean, we're in the game. We have plenty of opportunities after that, the truth be told. You know, it'd been nice to come away with points there, but unfortunately – that didn't work out, but, you know, we still have plenty of opportunities.
You couldn't have been thrilled, though, with the start, you know, overall, especially offensively. Just, again, the constant refrain that has haunted this team over the course of the year. They still haven't learned that part of it, of the little things that make big things happen in a negative way.
Well, yeah, mistakes breed mistakes. And I think, you know, that's pretty common. I think, you know, in defense of some of our guys, we had a lot of new guys out there. And, you know, it wasn't like we came all healthy from the bye, you know, like a lot of people want to think that. But, you know, we had a different starting offensive line, our ninth different set of starters. We had a couple new tight ends playing in way bigger roles, you know, taking Deion Sims and Zach Miller's place. You know, but once they settled in, we had a couple boo-boos early and, you know, I think once they settled in, it wasn't that bad. You know, the biggest thing was not being able to start our running game, I think, was a key factor in that game.
We heard from Adam Shaheen today, a rookie, and a very quiet guy. We don't hear from him a lot, but he was still ticked off today, you know, and that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
You want to hear that, because I was going to ask you, how would you describe the building today?
Well, our guys are very disappointed. You know, I think they see the missed opportunity, and even at that, with us probably not playing the best we're capable of playing, I thought our quarterback had his best game of the season so far, a bright spot. We got to see a little bit what Dontrell Inman is capable of. So I was impressed with that. I just think that our guys saw that, and they realize all the work we have to do, and I think they're ready to work.
It's important for you in your position, and just listening to you this afternoon answer questions with the media, which you do every Monday after a game. You don't dwell on some of these decisions or instances in the game. You have to move on, even in the course of the game, and you need your players to see that. Otherwise, they're going to be wondering what's going on. What's going on the sidelines? What's going on in the booth? What's going on? And you don't want them thinking about anything other than their assignment.
Well, no. I mean, our guys remain focused. I mean, basically, we've had two games where, we turned the ball over too much to give ourselves a chance. And then in the seven games, we could have gone either way. We're 3-4. And, we need to score more points. And, one of those games we won, we didn't score an offensive touchdown. Our defense was able to carry us that day. But all in all, our guys see the improvement. They see where we're getting better. Our passing game did improve. We have a young quarterback that I think is going to be superb. Probably wasn't our best day defensively. We needed it to be. I'd like to have hovered around 17 points instead of 23. And that's where we are right now, and that's the kind of game we have to play. And we had an opportunity. We had the ball in our hands, one score away.
First down was difficult because it made for some long third downs. I think he had 9 10-plus-yard third down attempts.
Yeah, I think really the difference in the game was they were able to run the ball.
Yeah.
All right, and they had 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3. All right, we were not able to run the ball. All right, and for that reason, we had 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-11, 3rd-and-16. So, really in a nutshell, that's what it came down to.
It really did. I mean, as silly as that may sound in the context of 60 minutes and everything that happened, it is true. Packers had 96 yards rushing, I think, on first down. All right, we're going to take our first break.
Set with Shaheen and Inman. Back to throw. Trubisky on 3rd-and-9. Launches it for Inman. Up in the air, makes the catch. Inside the Packer 25. Taken out of bounds on the play by Jermaine Whitehead. Far side of the field. And that is his first Bear catch. 26 yards and a first down.
That is our player of the game, Dontrell Inman, brought to you by Xfinity. Targeted 8 times. John Fox, 6 catches, 57 snaps. So let's put this in context for the average fan. So, yes, he was an L.A. Charger. I keep wanting to say San Diego Charger, but he only played 2 games. He was coming off some injuries and so forth. But to come into a new situation, dropped out of the sky into a new team, entering the bye week, not a lot of practice, a lot of meeting time, and then to go out there and be a starter and your primary target, frankly, is that on a scale? How difficult is that for that kid?
Well, I think, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hard work by the coaches, and it's a lot of hard work by Dontrell. And, he's a professional, and, getting chemistry built with a new quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, I think, it says a lot about his work ethic and the time the staff and him, spent trying to get him ready.
Because, frankly, we, as media and reporters and analyzing things, going back to training camp, where I was talking about, how much time is it going to take to get the chemistry with your quarterbacks, when you got new pieces? I mean, this kid's been here for a few practices.
Yeah, and so I think it just speaks to, how hard people had to work to get him ready. And I think, he's a guy that I think just kind of will pick it back up. We got Marcus Wheaton back. He only played a couple plays, but he hasn't been at practice, hasn't built.
So he wasn't really, you didn't feel comfortable letting him loose just yet in terms of snaps?
No, yeah. I think health-wise he was good. But, again, it was, the practice time. Josh Bellamy slipped in there. We have Kendall Wright. And Dontrell had gotten all that work being healthy at least. Since we've had him, and then his was more just a matter of time and comfortability in the system.
Almost had a big one there to end it, too. It could have given you a couple cracks at the end zone.
I think he'd have liked to have that one back, and, really, even when you look at it on tape, there were some yards to be had there after the catch if we hang on to that one, with the angle the free safety took.
In terms of the running game, they were ready for it, right? Packers know it. Everybody knows it. And every team you've played knows it, but you've still been able to have very good success running the football this year. again, this ninth different starting lineup or lineup for the offensive line is complicating things a little bit, isn't it?
Well, it makes it a little bit more difficult. Yeah, I think we moved Cody Whitehair from center to guard, and we put Hronis Grosu in, who's really kind of been coming off a broke hand, hadn't had a lot of work at the center position because of that hand. It was they're really good inside, at the defensive tackle position, and we struggled at times, putting it plain and simple, and that was a little bit of an issue with the run game.
Real quick, go not to talk about what happened on the replay, but the play of Benny Cunningham in that situation, he showed me a lot more explosiveness on that screen than maybe I even realized. Same story for Shaheen on his 31-yard catch. When he gets that build-up speed going, man, he's a truck running downhill. I mean, these are two players that, maybe have earned themselves more targets in terms of what they're able to do with the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I think, in Benny's case, there was even another block. Maybe it could have been a little bit better. He would have waltzed into the end zone. Same thing on Adam's catch. If we can lock on a block a little bit longer, Adam did a good job of shaking the guy that was in coverage. It could have even been a bigger play. So those are little things that we look at on tape and, see how close some big plays are. And we're in need of them, to be quite frank with
you. I know you talked about this today as well, but people are asking me a lot about it, too, because, fantasy football and whatnot. Everybody was intrigued with Tariq Cohen, but 13 snaps yesterday. He hasn't had a ton of targets in the last few weeks. Yes, teams are aware of him now, but is it a matter of just what you think in terms of matchups for that particular team you're playing that limits those availabilities to him? Or what do you think you could tell people to calm them a little bit about why Tariq's not getting a ton of touches right now?
Well, I think, he is a rookie. He is our punt returner. He is our kick returner. We do have wildcat packages for him. So, in essence, he's a bit of a quarterback in that role. We do split him out a lot, so he has to know wide receiver positions. And then really we have, a Pro Bowl back in Jordan Howard. So it's a little bit of dispersing. Do you want Jordan to carry the load or do you want Tariq to carry it? Otherwise, you're splitting the carries. So it's a little bit of a dilemma. We're going to have to start putting him more at back and to boost those carries. He's already one of our leading receivers as far as touches on the season. So it's not like we're not using him. It's just, I'd remind everybody he is a rookie.
And with that being said, So when you hinted all those different positions, that's each meeting room.
It's a lot of stuff for a young player, no doubt.
So honestly, does he slip into the receiver room too for a little bit during the day? Does the running back room, or is it all?
No, he's pretty much in the running back room. But we do a lot of group meetings,
stuff,
and so there's packages and how we communicate it, and he kind of knows what those are. But it still takes a lot of time to learn, And then you just have your running back position, which The protections alone for a young player are very
difficult. To throw Trubisky on a deep drop, going deep down the left side. Great route. Run, drops it in the bucket to Bellamy. He's in. Touchdown, Bears. On first down, a throw and a beauty. 46-yard touchdown throw. And that was sorely needed. He beats House to get into the house. And a touchdown for the Bears.
There you go. Bears with a touchdown from Josh Bellamy as we get back on the coaches show. Don't make me laugh, you're making me laugh.
That was a great call.
I love that call. Sometimes I get too excited, right?
And excited.
I saw the double move, so I said in my mind, sometimes when I'm calling play, it's like, you're a fan too.
No doubt.
And I see, great move, double move, he's open, and he drops it in the bucket. And that's truly and as Tom pointed out, and we brought it up before, these quarterbacks do throw it in the bucket. Literally, practice, right? That was a beauty. Welcome back to the program here with John Fox. One more segment before we cut him loose. And Ben Wilkerson, the Bears' assistant offensive line coach, will join the program. So Mitchell's day, and you mentioned it, you were impressed. 21 of 35, 297, that touchdown, 97 rating. Did get sacked five times. Some of those on him, right? He'd say that himself. But overall, another growth step for Mitchell.
He's doing a great job of not turning it over. Really doing the next best thing, and sometimes a sack is or all the time a sack's way better than throwing a pick or, you know, fumbling the ball. So, you know, we still got to get better at that. We did have our hands full with a couple of their inside guys yesterday in the pass rush. You know, I think that's something that will improve the healthier we get moving forward. And, you know, I think Mitch, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. He had a bootleg coming out. He had Josh Bellamy open early. All right. He kind of was waiting for maybe some deeper things, and it got clouded, and he ended up taking a sack there. He would tell you the same thing. It wasn't a critical moment, but it was a sack that, you know, just come out, feed the ball right away, get it out of your hands quick, and, you know, whatever the gain is, you know, it's better than a sack. And we had an open receiver in the flat, and, you know, he'll learn from that. He saw it on tape today, and, you know, next time that happens, he's going to take what they give him.
Yeah, and that is key. And even the if he would have, he could have even thrown deeper to Inman. I think he was running a similar pattern deeper down the field. But for a quarterback fundamentally moving left versus right on a bootleg like that, does he have to get his shoulders turned around at least so he can get on
target?
Well,
he's definitely athletic to make that throw. I mean, it was just, it's a judgment that, you know, young quarterbacks are going to see. They have to see and experience it, you know, to execute it. And I think that's a great example of one that I think he'll know how to handle that next time.
Couple things on the defensive side of the ball that were positives that you liked.
Well, I think, you know, our short yardage defense. You know, unfortunately, we had a lot of short yardages. We were 5 of 8. You know, on some short yardage stops that I thought were critical, kept us in the game. You know, the negative was probably too many explosives. We had a run that popped 37 yards on a wham play that we didn't fit as well as we could. And there were three passes, you know, that were big plays, whether we broke contain or maybe didn't have ideal coverage that, you know, again, we're not in the position right now where we can give up 23 and expect it to be good. So, you know, we don't have a big margin for error. Our guys get that. They know they're capable of better, and you know, we just have to do better this week against Detroit.
All right, let's talk about the Lions. They got a 2-game winning streak, and, you know, it all begins and ends, really, with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're playing opportunistic defense. Up to now, they've had a bunch of turnovers. I think, you know, obviously Matt's got a very good receiving core. You know, I think they actually ran the ball pretty decently this last week against Cleveland. They got into some bigger people. They've got a couple of really talented running backs. So they're very capable. And, you know, another division opponent here at Soldier Field.
Flip it on the defensive side. What are they doing to your knowledge at this point?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, they're opportunistic. So they try to put pressure on you. They'll try to cause pressures. And, you know, I think they're up there in the turnover ratio as far as taking the ball away, and something we'll have to be aware of.
One thing I forgot to ask you about, Kyle Long. Mm-hmm. What's it looking like for Kyle?
Well, I think, you know, we need him. He knows that. And, you know, I think he needed a week to heal his body. He's got an ankle. You know, he had some dislocated fingers that are problematic as far as the ability to grab and latch inside legally. You know, we just didn't feel like he was quite ready to play 65 snaps or whatever it was going to ask for. He did get in for one play. Josh Sitton came out, his shoe busted up. So he was healthy, but just not able to go the full distance. So we did have to make the lineup change with Hronis at center and Cody Whitehair at right guard. Josh obviously played his left guard spot. And we're looking probably to get Kyle back in there. And so anytime you have a Pro Bowl player missing, that doesn't help your cause.
All right, John, we'll let you go. Get ready for the Lions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Seth.
Seth left. Trevor Davis to the near side. Now to the left of Hundley goes Kyle. Blitz, Krakowski hits Hundley, and down he goes. Back near the 19-yard line. So Vic Fangio dialing up a couple of big blitzes here. One from the block, one from Kwiatkowski on third and short.
And that was one of the big defensive plays yesterday. Yeah, Kwiatkowski leading the Bears in tackles yesterday, double digits, and the first time in his Bears career leading the way defensively. Back at 7:04 here on the Bears Coaches Show at PNC Studios in Hallis Hall. Kind enough to join us, Ben Wilkerson, the Bears assistant offensive line coach. I didn't mean to alarm you by running a linebacker highlight, but you used to pick those guys off, right, as offensive lineman. So
that's fun chasing them down.
That's always, of course, a big part of the offensive line play. So we should transition to that. It's kind of you think of these guys as just big guys up front, hogs. They want to grind it out with guys, but you need these guys to get to the second level too and dig out those linebackers. Is that fun for an offensive lineman, or is it challenging, or both?
It's both. It's definitely fun because anytime you get an offensive lineman in space and get a chance to showcase your athleticism, chasing down a linebacker or getting them cut off on the backside, it's always good. And it's a challenge, too, because the linebackers are definitely superior athletes. And the offensive line, definitely from an evaluation standpoint, you look for athletic big guys that can move and get to the second level with speed and also have body control to finish the block. So it's a challenge, but it's fun as well.
That being said, in today's NFL, is it more difficult to hunt those guys down? Because linebackers, depending on what kind of scheme you have, they seem to be lighter and faster and quicker and maybe even stronger in some cases than maybe it used to be.
Well, I think it's always a challenge regardless of because you have to match your scheme with the scheme that you're playing against from a standpoint of being able to compete on Sundays. And with the change in athleticism at different spots on the defensive side of the ball, depending if you're playing on a 4-3 defense or a 3-4 defense, you want to make sure you have the guys up front that can cater and adapt and adjust to both and get the job done.
Well, as a center by trade, what did you prefer playing against one versus the other, a 4-3 or 3-4? And did you see anything really exotic back in your college days? Because, you know, there's always something new in college.
Definitely. You get a full gamut of different looks. But anytime you're playing a 3-4 defense, especially at the center spots, you normally have a nose tackle right over you. So you don't get a chance to get to the second level and get out of space as often as you get a chance to play a 4-3 where the center can be uncovered sometimes. And whether it's just going through to the second level, getting a chance to pull around, those opportunities present itself a little bit more versus that scheme. Either way, it's just about execution and whoever you're blocking, whether it's the nose tackle in front of you or second-level linebacker over the guards, you got to get it done.
Who'd you hate playing against? Guys who would keep you up at night?
Who comes to mind? It's quite a few guys. To be honest with you, it was more so the guys that I had to practice against on a weekly basis, especially at LSU. I mean, we had – you know, guys like Kyle Williams, who's still doing it to this day, and Marcus Spears and Chad Leavelly. I mean, we had some great
Marcus Spears, not a big TV
talent,
star.
No doubt about it.
In the SEC. He does a heck of a job.
Does a great job. But, yeah, it was always fun in practice, and it helped us get better and prepare for those Saturdays.
So yesterday, we talked about it with Coach, a ninth different lineup. How challenging has that been? I know you're tasked with it, so you got to get them ready, but it still doesn't make it any easy for continuity.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a challenge when that continuity, it constantly shifts. And the biggest thing that myself and Coach Washburn, which has been a definite pleasure getting a chance to work with him, is the challenge has been continuing to prepare everyone for their opportunity when opportunity presents itself. Because in this game, at this level, I mean, you never know whether you're going in the game as a starter or you can be midway through the game and something happens and you have to be able to step in and execute and keep the train rolling. So you prepare everyone to play and step in and keep it moving, and that's what we try to do with all of them.
And welcome back to PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall at 7:12 with Ben Wilkerson as we take a look at what happened against the Packers yesterday and look ahead to the Lions. We're talking offensive line with Ben. Charles Leno Jr., definitely becoming a more vocal leader, even with the media. You notice more and more the media going to Charles. He got some new money this year, obviously, so he's going to be here a while. Have you seen him grow here in the time you've been?
Well, just being here with him over the last, going on my third year now, you definitely see the growth, the maturation, and just the desire to fill that role at the left tackle position. And he's done a phenomenal job of being a student of the game and just working his tail off physically, doing things that's not asked of him, just to continue to make himself a better overall player, better overall teammate, and a leader within our room. So the leadership and the growth and maturation is definitely there, and it's paying off for him.
You need your hands, obviously, to play offensive line, no question about it. You gotta be strong and all that, but the difficulties that are involved with a guy coming off a hand injury, like Jarenis Grassou and then put in the center position yesterday, or what Kyle's dealing with right now with his fingers. How do you help them compensate for those type of issues?
Well, you work on other things. You try to fine-tune other things until they can get back to a functional level of play using their hands. But there's always something to work on and something to get better at on the offensive line, whether it's footwork, pad level, angles, first level, second level, depending on the outside, inside zone. So it's all types of other things that we continue to work on while we wait on the ailment to get better.
Obviously, a defense is going to be hunting information. So if they know a guy's left hand, do you tell them ways to counter what they might attack to make it difficult for you to use that particular side of your body or whatnot?
Well, it's many different tools and options that you can give, but we try not to overload and make the guy overthink and overcompensate for one small thing. If he just stays within the scheme and stay within the technique, he can still get the job done. Of course, it does play a big part in your hands being able to use them on the offensive line, but we just try to stay within our system, stay within our scheme, and again, just fine-tune some of the other parts of the blocking process to make sure that we get that block executed.
We've applauded Cody Whitehair for being able to be flexible, but at the same time, could that be a detriment sometimes?
No, not really, because Cody Whitehair is such a phenomenal kid. He's grown so much since he first got in this building, learning the center position and just his ability and willingness to move from one spot to the next and do whatever's necessary to help the football team and help our offensive line. That's what's great about working with him, and he's taken on every challenge we've thrown at him and has done well for us. Of course, we like to keep him in one spot, just like we mentioned the continuity before, but sometimes you got to make moves, and he's one of the guys that will feel comfortable moving around and getting the job done.
Man is a worker, isn't he?
Yes, he sure is.
He puts a lot of time in this offseason, never left the building. What else have you seen in terms of his growth as a football player, not just what he does on the field physically, but is there a component that maybe we're not aware of in the classroom and whatnot?
Well, just his preparation. Like you said, in the offseason, the guy was around all the time. I mean, he's putting in coaching hours, it seemed like. We're here late in the evenings, and I mean, he's still walking around and doing something, whether it's watching film, working on his body, and just being a student of the game and preparing himself real well for his second year in the league. And he's done very well for us, and we're great. We're lucky to have him. We really are.
With the changing quarterback starting on the fifth game of the year with Mitchell Trubisky, two very different quarterbacks, mm-hmm. obviously. How did that affect things for you as a coach and an assistant, the challenges to work with a guy that is not just going to sit in the pocket? He's got the athleticism to move around, or just the move game at that position.
You know what? We try to approach it with the same mentality. Every time, it doesn't matter who they put behind us. We can put you behind us at quarterback. At the end of the day, our job is to protect the quarterback. And whether he moves around in the pocket or he feels more comfortable sitting there and going through his progressions in the pass game, be it the quarterback, the running back, anybody who's behind us that we're responsible for taking care of, that's our job. And scheme-wise, if we have to do something a little bit different, depending on who's back there, we will, but we prepare for it. And ultimately, if we can keep him clean, then that's a good job for us.
Yeah, it's silly to think of it that way, but do they have to have eyes in the back of their head too, at least in their mind's eye?
Yeah, you know what? It's just it comes with practice and preparation of just having an understanding of what's going on behind you, the depth of the quarterback, depending on the protection and how we call it, and, the timing that the ball's coming out. We try to give our guys that information whenever it presents itself to give them a little bit more awareness of where the quarterback is setting up, being some sort of play action or if it's a quick pass, and just give them a chance to either jump a guy and be more aggressive at the line, or you got a chance to take some time, would it be a drop back. So there's different levels of preparation, but we try to give as much as we can to the guys to give them a chance to do their job effectively.
Bears assistant offensive line coach Ben Wilkerson with us for one more segment. Welcome back to the program. Our final moments with Ben Wilkerson, the Bears assistant offensive line coach here from PNC Studios at Hattusaw. Bears begin their preparation for the Detroit Lions. We'll get into that in just a moment. But yesterday, given Kyle Long's absence, he was on the sidelines, did some field goal block, was in for one snap for Josh Sitton, but you guys did go and use Bradley Soule as a sixth attacker on the offensive line. How does that affect the relationship with the tight end position and so forth when they bring that sixth offensive lineman in there in short yardage situations?
Well, it gives us a chance to get a bigger body on the field that's used to blocking and moving people at the point of attack. So we try to create an advantage having a bigger body in there to be more physical and get a little bit more movement at the point of attack depending on what type of run that you have. And so having a guy as your sixth or seventh lineman that you dress that has the ability to step in and smart enough to learn his responsibility at the tight end spot definitely pays dividends.
Are you doing anything with the tight ends in the context of how you guys want to block a running play? You personally like working with them, too, in the blocking, especially like a rookie like Adam Shaheen or a former wide receiver in Daniel Brown.
Yeah, we definitely get opportunities to get the tackles and tight ends together and work our different combination blocks because it's such a big part of what we do offensively, be it front side or back side. So to get a chance to work with those guys, especially the two guys that you mentioned, they're very talented guys in the pass game, but also in the run game too. Able to big bodies that can lock on guys and help us establish movement at the point. And we try to do as much as we can, working the different combinations within the scheme. And it's been great so far. And we'll continue to develop those guys in the responsibility of blocking, and they help us tremendously.
Are part of your responsibilities also in the field goal protection and all that too?
Yes, sir. Just being another set of eyes for Coach Rogers and Coach Swinton in practice, and you know my responsibility is very minimal from that standpoint. But I do enjoy still being a part of the special teams process from a practice standpoint. I get a script and help with the rotation in that phase, and something that I was a part of when I played and. Took, you know, pride in doing it, so it's fun to be a part of it as well.
Could you ever envision yourself coaching another position? Because there are some head coaches that use players that played an entirely different. I know Green Bay used to do it all. Edgar Bennett was, for example, or Jerry Fontenot was an offensive lineman coaching a different position. Would that be something intriguing for you, or is that too hard?
No, I wouldn't say it's too hard. As many coaches that has done it before, it just takes learning. It takes time to learn other positions, whatever position is called upon. Right now, my focus is being as good an assistant offensive line coach as I can be. And whatever opportunity presents itself down the line, I'll approach it then. But right now, I just want to be a good assistant O-line coach for the Bears.
What do you think of these Lions coming in?
They're talented defense, talented offense. Definitely have to prepare well for these guys this week. And looking forward to the challenge. I mean, it's a big game, a big division game for both teams. And something that we're excited about the competition there.
I know you got a long line ahead of you, so I'll let you go. Ben Wilkerson, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, now we'll get back to John Fox on so much that went into yesterday, a lot of it coming down to one play.
Yeah, I think, again, there's a lot of calls in the game. Obviously this one was a replay. I don't know that everybody agrees with it. I know I don't, but it really doesn't much matter. You know, they decided where they were, regardless even what they give you feedback of, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't change anything. So that's not new. But in this league, you got to overcome a lot of things, and officiating is one of them. It's just kind of the way it is. Whether it goes against you or for you, you got to overcome a lot of stuff.
I've never asked you this, and I don't know that anyone ever has. It just popped into my head right now. So bearing the weight of that decision at that point in the game, it's early.
Right.
Could have tied the game, all that business. But much like we talk about corners who give up a big play, they got to just forget about it, or a receiver drops a touchdown, do you also, as a head coach, have to not let that weigh you down for the other three quarters of the game? And is that hard to do? Is it always in your head throughout the course of a game?
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of decisions you have to make. There's calls, on offense, on defense, in the kicking game. There are a lot of decisions that are made throughout a game. And that's one of them. We haven't scored a lot of points so far this year, and we're down there close. We got an opportunity to be at the three, or what we thought was a one or a touchdown. We need to do everything possible to get points. And even yesterday we scored one touchdown, and that's not going to win you a lot of games in the league.
Did you ever learn a lesson from your own decisions where you really did regret it and it ruined the way you coached a game at any point in your career?
Not really. I think early on, back in early 2000, as far as chasing 2 points, you know, not to do it too early, you know, really kind of wait till late in the fourth quarter. You know, there's a lot of things experience teaches you, you know, but all in all, you know, again, the rules have changed and everything's changed a lot, you know, in that time. But, you know, that's probably really the one, you know, that I kind of look back and remember. You know, as far as replay, you know, it's just sometimes it can be a long time out. Sometimes you don't really even care about the call. You know, this wasn't that kind of situation. But, you know, the information that we were getting, we thought it would be out of bounds at the one, if not a touchdown. And really, you know, it's kind of, you know, I go back to the 50 guys in the bar. I still believe that's the case, but it doesn't really matter.
Right, and I think a lot of people do. At minimum, it's really tough to overturn something like that. And I don't know that I've ever seen or heard it going against somebody. It's like, you know, no good deed goes unpunished in that particular situation.
You know, but, I mean, we're sitting there. It's fourth quarter. We're 16-13. I mean, we're in the game. We have plenty of opportunities after that, the truth be told. You know, it'd been nice to come away with points there, but unfortunately that didn't work out. But, you know, we still have plenty of opportunities.
You couldn't have been thrilled, though, with the start, you know, overall, especially offensively. Just, again, the constant refrain that has haunted this team over the course of the year. They still haven't learned that part of it, of the little things that make big things happen in a negative way.
Well, yeah, mistakes breed mistakes. And I think, you know, that's pretty common. I think, you know, in defense of some of our guys, we had a lot of new guys out there.
True.
And, you know, it wasn't like we came all healthy from the bye, you know, like a lot of people want to think that. But, you know, we had a different starting offensive line, our ninth different set of starters. We had a couple new tight ends playing in way bigger roles, you know, taking Deion Sims and Zach Miller's place. You know, but once they settled in, we had a couple boo-boos early, and, you know, I think once they settled in, it wasn't that bad. You know, the biggest thing was not being able to start our running game, I think, was a key factor in that game.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. That's going to wrap us up for tonight's show. Sunday's game against the Lions brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless provider of the Chicago Bears. For head coach John Fox, assistant Ben Wilkerson, Dan Borelli, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson, I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears-Lions, 9 a.m. pregame noon kickoff Sunday at Soldier Field. Thanks for listening, everybody, from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Have a good night. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.